fascist in the Pacifica struggle. Lynn was distinguished because, among other things, she exposed when Pacifica hired in 1995 a notorious anti-union, union-busting group called American Consulting Group to bust the unions at KPFK, WBAI, and KPFA. Welcome to KUCYX, Lynn.
Thank you, Jeff.
Hi, Lynn.
Lynn, what's the latest that you've heard on what's going on with Amy?
Okay, the latest that I have heard is they are still in the meeting, which means that this meeting now has been going on for about 10 hours. And what is at issue is essentially a double bind that Pacifica and BAI management are putting Democracy Now into. I mean, it should be understood very clearly that this is a strategy designed to force Amy Goodman out.
Lynn, may I interrupt you one moment?
Yeah.
We will be taking calls later in the program, but I want to keep the lines open for Amy, so please restrain yourself. Amy calls. I want her to be able to get in on the line, so please, until we open the phones for calls, please don't try and call in. Thank you very much. I appreciate your thoughtfulness on this issue. Now, Lynn, please continue. Sorry.
Okay, so they have subjected her repeatedly to verbal harassment and physical intimidation and disruption of her ability to work, she and the other members of the staff. You know, for example, they'll be trying to do a program in the morning about to go on the air, and a staff member at WBAI will burst through a locked door with a pass key and begin to scream at the people as their minutes from airtime preparing the program. They've been prevented from coming in at nights and on weekends to pre-produce much of the material, which is the only way that they're able to get all those guests, because not every guest is available at specifically the time that the program airs live. And then there has been an incident which people may be aware of, where Amy Goodman was trying to document with a camera the rifling by WBAI staff members of belongings of Bernard White, the fired and banned program director of WBAI. So, once again, Democracy Now! Has been exiled to the substandard studio for no apparent reason. I mean, no good reason. There is no radio reason, radio management that was in its right mind would suddenly move its most complex national program into a substandard studio if they cared about the program or if they cared about the audience as expecting to hear it. So with all of this, finally they said, fine, this is not a safe environment. It's a hostile work environment. They made arrangements to go to a fully equipped studio elsewhere in New York City who were happy to donate the space to them to do the broadcast. This is what happened on Monday. They went to this new facility. They did the broadcast. They fed it up over the ISDN line. And other than, you know, your station and KPFA, all of the other stations did not get that broadcast because the Pacifica National Management would not allow it to be sent on the KU satellite to all of the stations, which is how they get it. They had a CD of this, rerun of this John Lennon interview from some time back.
When he was alive.
What?
I presume.
No, not when he was alive. No, it was someone who had, there's more to that, but I won't get distracted here. No, it was someone who had written a book about John Lennon. No, this was not when he was alive. Okay. They put that up. Steve Yasko, the National Program Director's assistant, sat by the satellite engineer to make sure that he uploaded that archived program instead of the show that had been produced that day and was being fed by Democracy Now! From that remote studio.
I understand that there is a precedent for WBI programmers to broadcast or produce their films and have them sent to the station by ISDN lines.
Oh, yes, absolutely. There are two daily shows that already do that on WBAI, and other occasional contributors who use that. There's no question that WBAI and Pacifica have the technology and the skills to do this as a routine matter. So the only reason for them not doing this is spite and a desire to attack and destroy, you know, Democracy Now, you know, its reputation and its audience.
And this is the voice of Lynn Gary, former union steward engineer at KPFK, the Pacifica station in Los Angeles, who has been partly responsible, too, for an amazing internet network that now collects information on Pacifica and disseminates it. And Lynn, I actually had a chance, although everybody else is listening to it as well, I had a chance to listen to the file you just uploaded to A-Infos, hearing Amy's voice recorded this morning by Dennis Bernstein, uncharacteristically actually sounding somewhat moved and emotional. She's so so cool always, talking about that they refused to do to allow them to do the broadcast today. That were her words.
Not only that, cited them for insubordination because they did the broadcast from a remote location.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, this is
and
this
I
is
think
outrageous.
That's already the I believe they have like several strikes and you're out. This is not the first time she's cited for insubordination.
Well, I'm sure that that's why, you know, I mean, this is a very, there is a lot of context, of course, that goes with the, you know, the purging and mainstreaming of any type of radical programming from Pacifica. But from a basic union standpoint, Pacifica management is in violation of the contract. Now, I'm not familiar specifically with AFTRA's contract, but I can tell you that any employer is supposed to guarantee a safe workplace for the employees. And obviously the management is not supposed to engage in physical assaults, nor in behavior that disrupts the employee's ability to do the work so that they may then give them citations for not doing the work properly, which is essentially what's going on. I mean, in the real world, it's a very ornate and macabre version of papering somebody's file, you know, so they can build up a case against them and, you know, with the fiction that they've removed them for some sort of cause, you know.
Since we're all, the three of us here, and we're going to call Carol Spooner in a moment to get some of the legal aspects in it, why don't we move to set this incident today in a larger context? And also talk about what the consequences might be, not just for Amy, but also for anybody else. What is there to do? And we had just sort of little aside conversations. Anybody listening to this, any radio station taking the broadcast of Democracy Now! Has an opportunity here to have their voices heard in support of Amy and also in support of a Pacifica that keeps Democracy Now! As their main and most important program. I think affiliates could easily say that they would certainly not feel bound to honor the contract with Pacifica if Pacifica were indeed to drop Democracy Now! At this point and exert pressure to keeping it on.
I can tell you that that is exactly what will happen. I know that I now live in upstate New York, and I'm a volunteer at a station, WEOS, which is a Pacifica affiliate and takes Democracy Now! It used to air PNN. It's now airing Free Speech Radio News. And the only reason that it the station continues to pay the fees to Pacifica is to get Democracy Now!, and the station management is very clear on the fact that, you know, unless Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Remain, they will not pay any money to Pacifica, and they will cancel their contract. And I know that many stations are only maintaining their contract to get Democracy Now and to, you know, show support for Amy.
Okay, this brings up another question, or another sinister belief in the, among the paranoid like myself. It's quite obvious for some time that Pacifica has been dissing its affiliates. And for some of us, it appears that Pacifica is willfully self-destructing. Amy Goodman has been like the flagship, the one reason that people have any connection at all, respect to Pacifica. Here at KZYX, we dropped PNN quite some time ago and play Free Speech Radio News. Democracy Now! Is a program that has tremendous following, and the people of Pacifica know this. So we have, some of us have seen through the years, through efforts of the CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, to collaborate with Pacifica management in destroying what Pacifica was. Some of us see a COINTELPRO operation. How do you look at this?
Well,
it's a big question.
Yeah, I mean, I have held the same position as you have. I said for all this time, it's quite, look, a radio station like this poses a serious threat. As Noam Chomsky has frequently articulated, as well as others, in a nominal democracy where people have to vote and so on, it's necessary to control the level of information to keep people pacified and to have them duly go to the ballot box and vote for the candidates that have already been picked by the elites that will serve their interests. When there is a radio station that is putting, the truth is very powerful, even a small, and it's kind of a metaphor, but even a small drop of it has so much more power than a whole swimming pool full of lies. It's so powerful. And even though Pacifica is in the media schema a relatively small organization, it has the ability to disseminate enough of that truth to undermine the, you know, the story that's being told to the American public that everyone is supposed to buy. And there have been, one of the strangest features is that this, you know, coup group has proudly posted on the Pacifica webpage the report of a consultant called David Giovannoni claiming that, well, Pacifica has gone from, gone to total irrelevance and, it has completely worthless and no one listens to it and it has no importance. And that, in fact, is reality turned on its head. It has tremendous importance. It is a tremendous threat. And that is why it is under assault to be destroyed, to remain Pacifica in name only, but to have its threatening content utterly eviscerated.
And I believe that Amy has hung in there so long because she knows that that is true. I want to welcome listeners who just tuned in, hoping to find today's edition of Democracy Now! There is no Democracy Now! Today. I guess Pacifica has again uploaded a archival program from 15 years ago or so. Amy was very briefly on KPFA this morning. Dennis Bernstein did a special show with her in the time slot that is reserved for Democracy Now! On KPFA. Some of you may have heard it. She actually stated that today they refuse to allow the Democracy Now! Team to do a broadcast. Yesterday they broadcast from a television studio near WBAI, and you heard that program here on KZYX. For that act she received another letter of statement of insubordination.
And if that voice sounded familiar, that is a voice you just heard of Mariah Gallardin of TUC Radio, who also is a lab member, local advisory member of KPFA, who is in the studio co-hosting with me. The thing that first prompted me to suspect that something was more than it appeared to be was in 1995, when after I attended a Pacifica board meeting in Houston and was thrown out of it by Pat Scott, the executive director, an investigator from the Inspector General's Office of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting began to investigate the closed meeting, violation of closed meeting regulation, open meeting regulations by Pacifica. 17 days later, he was told to pick up his things and leave. He was fired after getting good work reports. Then, a couple of years later, we filed Take Back KPFA, which Mariah and I were co-founders, filed a formal complaint with the CPB about their violation, flagrant violation of the federal open meeting regulations for public radio stations. And a week before, the Deputy Inspector General told me on a phone conversation that he had found all our complaints valid. He was going to file a report which might jeopardize Pacifica's funding. 2 weeks later, I called back and found out that the man, Deputy General Mike Donovan, was no longer working for the CPB, and they had no location where he might be. A couple of years later, they put in another Inspector General. He didn't make a critical report, not as critical, but critical. Back at the CPB board meeting, which I attended to speak, the Inspector General then told me that what had already happened is the CPB board had decided to whitewash the report, and their finding was a complete interpretation, misinterpretation, reverse of what their own Inspector General had found, and they said that the CPB Inspector General had given Pacifica high marks. So we suspected at that point there was something more than simply a division of opinion within Pacifica. And of course now, then the head of the CPB was Robert Coonrod, who is a former head of the Voice of America and of Radio Marti booming to Cuba. Maybe you could add some more to that, Lynn.
Yes, in fact, the first investigator from the CPB was named Brian McConville, and I spoke with him after he was fired. And what he told me, well, he learned this subsequent to his firing, was that day or two before he was fired, a call had come from Pacifica's lawyer. Now this call should have been directed to him as the investigator on that case. It was not. It was sent directly to Lester Latney, who was at that time the Inspector General. Lester Latney was a Clinton appointee, a political appointee, as are, many people put into these types of agencies. It went to Latney. There was a conversation. McConville was not briefed on the content. He was not even told by Latney that the conversation happened. And Michael Donovan, who you referred to, was the immediate supervisor of McConville at that time. Michael Donovan was not told that there was any intention to fire his subordinate. And that would have also been the normal procedure. If his subordinate was being dismissed, he would have certainly been involved in that decision or discussions about it. None of that happened. This came straight from the top and presumably from outside of the CPB itself. And, there are other, and this is only one of many direct incidents of government interference with this whole Pacifica takeover process that's gone on over the past 6 or 7 years.
And the reason why this is an important question right now, we are all sort of scratching our heads, discussing with great urgency what is at work here in order to determine what our strategy should be. Helping Amy out at this point with calls and letters is really important, but knowing the undercurrent, the underlying reasons for this is even more important. And the newcomers to this campaign against Pacifica have often called it, a corporate raid or a corporate takeover. Even Dennis called it that this morning. And it has many elements of that, but often people do don't take into account the history that we just alluded to. And we alluded to because you just happened to hear three people who were intimately involved in this and made some of these phone calls, like Lynn Gary, whose voice you just heard, and before her, Jeff Blankford. You even said, Lynn, when you heard this morning's broadcast, that Juan Gonzalez is also seeing a little bit deeper.
Yes, and I think that's interesting because they're fortunately, even though at that time it seemed like such an uphill battle, the groundwork and the information that we compiled has now been very valuable as more people come into this struggle to understand the context that we're in. And Juan, I think, put it rather well this morning, is that you're dealing with a set of mixed features. One of the things that was done, of course, was to purge the radical elements and to attempt to purge them at every level from Pacifica, from the local and national stations. Now, since people of this type comprise such a large body of the organization, and literally hundreds of people have been fired, banned, and driven out since this began in the early mid-90s, they had to go somewhere else to recruit allies. So they went further rightward, and they brought in many of these corporatist types for whom, while some of them had, there are those that had a political motivation in terms of silencing Pacifica and or, I think more likely, hijacking it for a specific purpose to use its transmitters to transmit specific things, not the type of things that have traditionally been put on. To bring other allies in, there were people who were not so ideological. They were more interested in what was in it for them in terms of profit. So in order to recruit people like Bertram Lee, for example, a media broker and entrepreneur, one of the board majority that remains, people like that are motivated by the opportunity for some cash as a result of their involvement. And, there is cash to be made. If they had succeeded in putting through a bylaws amendment, which they tried to shove through earlier in the year, they would have been able to personally profit from selling stations, which they can't do now. But if they could change those bylaws, for example, Murdoch, a lawyer, Michael Palmer, who was a real estate broker, Bertram Lee, who was a media wheeler dealer, these people could have given themselves commissions for their sale of, for example, WBAI or KPFK. Now, of 2, 3, 5, 6% commission of a property that's $100 or $200 million is a nice chunk of change, and it's certainly worth a little bit of your time sitting on a board, getting nasty emails from outraged listeners.
But of course, before these corporate biggies came on board, the war was being waged with intensity, with certain aspects that were reminiscent of the COINTELPRO campaign waged against the Black Panthers and the Young Lords, with which Juan Gonzalez was a member in New York. One of the examples of that, which was striking, was when a young woman, a black woman who worked for Pacifica, with whom I was friendly, but was not publicly known. I didn't know she was African American. I spoke to her on the phone. Until I actually met her, I did not know she was black, and it didn't matter to me. I did not know anything about her. She was not a public figure, but she told me, and I believed her, that she had been receiving racist phone calls with people calling her a nigger bitch. Now, I told her that was clearly someone who is not a KPFA subscriber, because they may disagree with Pacifica, but that's not the kind of terminology any listener for KPFA would use. And who is this Vanessa? Her name was Vanessa. She was not known by hardly anyone around the KPFA struggle, including myself. So this was very suspicious, and ironically, her uncle was a member of the Black Panthers, quite well known, John Huggins, who was murdered in a COINTELPRO operation in 1968 in Los Angeles. And then, at the same thing, people at WBAI, after the split, after the Christmas coup, reported that the same kind of racist phone calls were being made to members of the staff who were loyal to Utrice Lead. And these are the kind of things that when you receive one, a call like that, you believe the person is sincere. And so, also, there was a strange shot fired into Pacifica headquarters when it was still in Berkeley at the time of a Pacifica board meeting, which has not ever been investigated properly. There was an African-American woman that worked at the station, walking into the station, KPFA, just as a shot was fired. She walked into the station, but she said, as a woman walking on the streets of Berkeley at night, she pays attention to her surroundings. She saw no cars on the street or in the parking lot across the street. So that was all very strange. We haven't heard any more about that. But using that shot as an excuse, Mary Frances Berry of the Civil Rights Commission had Pacifica send all the emails and letters from its critics to the Berkeley police for investigation. Since the Berkeley police cannot conduct an investigation like that, no doubt they send that to the California State Bureau of Investigation, and probably that information has all gone to the FBI. So now you can see that this is much bigger than simply a corporate takeover. There is a real struggle going on with some powers behind the forces of Pacifica that we don't clearly know about.
Lynn, any moment now, we're going to have Carol Spooner call in here. Carol Spooner, of course, is the... Well, we'll introduce her when she comes up. I hope you can stay with us to talk a little bit more about legal issues and potential strategies now.
Yes, I can. I'd like to, because I'm hoping that Carol is listening now.
This may be her
well,
now.
I'm afraid she can't get KZYX.
I'm going to go to this call.
Jeffrey,
hopefully it's her.
Hello?
Who is this? Oh, Carol Spooner.
Right.
Okay, we're going to put you conference.
Great.
Okay. Hello, Carol. Can you speak up a bit?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, Carol Spooner is a lab member from Santa Rosa. Local Advisory Board, and has been instrumental in bringing a listener's suit, which represents you out there as well, you're not Pacifica Station, we're not Pacifica Station, but what Carol has been doing is to improve the air, the sound of Pacifica stations, and to keep programs like Democracy Now! On the air. Welcome, Carol.
Hi, Jeff and Mariah. Thanks for having me.
And Carol, Lynn is still with us
the
phone.
Hi,
you
want
to say hello to each other?
Lynn.
And we had hoped, we had a very brief conversation with Amy, about a 15-second conversation. Mm-hmm. We had hoped to have her. But Lynn knows from the internet that the meeting that has now lasted about 10 hours is still not over.
Is that right?
So everybody out there who was hoping to find Democracy Now! And Amy's voice here, we may not be able to bring her your voice right now. You can sympathize with her. She is in a meeting with the management of... WBAI and the management of Pacifica about her status at WBAI. She said in the interview with Dennis Bernstein this morning that she was not, the Democracy Now! Team was not allowed to do their program today, which is an unprecedented escalation.
Right. Well, I have a little bit of news.
Yes.
In our lawsuit in early June, right around the 1st of June, we entered into a stipulation with Pacifica to certain things they agreed not to do, and it was entered as a court order. And one of them is refusing to broadcast Democracy Now!, taking any action respecting the broadcast. of Democracy Now. So we have a conference with the judges tomorrow morning to set up a hearing, which we think the hearing is going to be Monday or Tuesday, to get an order to Pacifica to permit the broadcast of Democracy Now, and if necessary, for Amy's and her staff's safety, to permit her to produce the program outside the WBAI station if they cannot guarantee her safety to her satisfaction.
And there is a precedent because a number of BAI programmers do produce the program outside of the station.
That's right. Gary Knoll, for instance,
yes,
does his program. So that's one action. We're in the process of trying to do on an expedited basis is get an order from the court enforcing the stipulation that Pacifica entered into in June. So that's one thing.
Also, there are some members of the Pacific National Board which are considered dissident members, and I know you suggested something that they might do.
Well, I called upon them to call a special meeting of the board of directors, a special emergency meeting, to adopt some resolutions to deal with this problem. I think it's way past time. I think the dissident board members who have the power to call a special meeting of the board should do so and present a motion, a resolution, to fire Bessie Wash, the executive director, Utrice Lead, the rogue and aberrant and run-amuck station manager at WBAI, and Steve Yasko, who is the national program director for Pacifica, who is doing the harassing directly of he and Utrice Lead are doing the direct harassments of Democracy Now. I think the board of directors should vote on a motion to fire those people and all go on record as to whether or not they're going to continue to support and condone this incredibly damaging conduct. They are fiduciaries of Pacifica Foundation and they need to be on record, every single one of them, a vote up or down, yes or no. And I really feel that it's time for every one of them to be put on the spot and that the dissident directors have the power to put them on the spot. I don't know if they have the votes to carry the motion. The board consists of five dissidents and six majority members, one of whom, Bob Farrell, appears to have broken ranks, at least as far as who's representing him in court. They ought to take a roll call vote on that, and you know they might even pass the resolution. It's a lot better than sitting on your hands and wringing your hands and saying, oh dear, this is horrible.
Well, actually, there has been a very successful campaign against some of the majority board, which has caused some of them to how do you say hello?
I'm here.
Yeah, has caused some of them to resign.
Yeah.
And perhaps you could talk about that campaign that has been run out here, and Lynn, you could get in on that too.
Well,
no,
actually, it should be me because Carol has nothing whatsoever to do with that.
Okay, Lynn, shoot.
Yes, the Pacifica campaign, which was founded by Juan Gonzalez when he resigned from Democracy Now! In January as a result of these types of things that we've been discussing, has as its brief conduct what is called a corporate campaign that's frequently done in support of labor actions and consumer issues to compel the corporate hijacking faction of the board to resign through public pressure. And there have been pickets and demonstrations and letter-writing campaigns and, at the workplaces and homes and other affiliations of some of these board members, as well as research being done on these board members to call attention to some of the skeletons in their closets that they'd rather not have made public. And thus far, where there was once 11 of them, there are now 6 of them. However, six of them still remain, and the Pacifica campaign is continuing its project to try to compel the resignations of the rest of them. And let me just give you, for people who are interested in getting involved in the Pacifica campaign, there are frequent national days of action that they've called, where they ask people to do anything from send an email to show up at a demonstration at various places. They're on the web at www.pacificacampaign.org, and there it tells you how to contact them via a toll-free number and ways to get involved, and it has their action alerts on there, and they have an email announcement list that they can put people on. And you know, I encourage everybody to participate, because no matter what your level of ability to do something, you know, everyone can at least send an email or a letter, even if you can't make it out to a picket line.
I just ducked out and tried again to get Amy, and she indeed picked up for a second. She's still in her meeting, and she can't talk. So I want to invite the listeners to call in, and we have just one line open because we have two guests on the air, so you may find a busy signal.
895-2448 or 1-800-499-7117. There is a telephone board meeting scheduled for the 12th of September, and I understand that they're trying to put former Mayor Marion Barry.
Yeah, former D.C. Mayor.
Former D.C. Mayor. Not Mary Frances Barry, but Marion Barry, in as the chairman of the Pacifica Board.
That's right. We received a notice of the board meeting for the purpose of electing new directors. That's another thing. We're bringing a motion to get a court order prohibiting them from electing new directors before that September 12th meeting. But yep, that's what they say. Bessie Wash says she wants Marion Barry as chair of the Pacifica Foundation Board of Directors.
Well, we
and
have
I think that's quite outrageous.
It's ludicrous, but this is what the whole thing has been. Well, here's a caller on the air. Hello, caller.
Hello. First of all, I'd like to thank all of you for the work that you're doing and the information that you're bringing us. And I'd also like to send a message to the federal ears that are listening. This is, we're quite aware of the blatancy of the war that's being waged against the people on this planet. And if they think they're going to shut us down and take over the planet, they're very wrong. So I encourage everybody who can, like Lynn said, to take some sort of action. It's time to stand up. And the lines have been drawn. It's very obvious on every front.
Well, thank you very much, caller.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah.
It is a good point. You know, it seems Pacifica is under attack, but we all had the experience that it concerns community radio, especially even more than public radio. Public radio is somewhat shielded.
I also want to have Lynn give your website, because those of you who would like to know more about the history of the struggle for Pacifica, there is one great site that Lynn has been running tirelessly for a number of years, and why don't you tell people what that site is?
Okay, I first want to say the caveat that I've been running it tirelessly for a number of years, but in the past few months I've been running it tiredly, which means that I haven't updated the current news, because so many sites like Pacifica Campaign and SavePacifica.net are doing that, and I'm so pressed for time. But this site is really the only place that has an archive of some of the earlier information that provides the background of how this started. If you go to www.radioforall.org, that's radio, the numeral 4, ALL.org, and you click on the link that says Free Pacifica near the top of the page, you'll come to the front page, and there's a lot of different material. Down at the bottom of the page, there's a link to something called the archive. If you're interested in reading the whole history of the CPB's CPB's complicit behavior, you know, in helping this group take over Pacifica, you should check out, you know, the CPB complaint. You can find out more about the things that we were touching on. I mean, one could spend an hour just on the details of that alone, and of course we don't have time in a broadcast like this. There's also information on the whole chronology of censorship, and you can quite clearly see a political pattern, you know, to the nature of the things that have been censored. And there's, you know, a lot of information on the, you know, the board and the hijacking. And I'd also like to, Carol, to give out her website that has the documents on the lawsuit, because they've compiled a lot of evidence about the various machinations of the Pacifica board as they've proceeded through this takeover process. Could you give that out, Carol?
Yes, I would like to. The web address is for the Committee to Remove the Pacifica Board, which is sponsoring this lawsuit. And I have to tell you that the web address is not an easy one to give out and write down over the radio. So email me at wildrose, like the flower, WILDROSE, at PON.net, and I will send you the web address.
That's wildrose at PON, like pond,
right,
PON.net.
Yeah, so if people will email me, I'll send you the web address. It gives a lot of information about our lawsuit and also how to support it. This costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to go into court and get injunctions and prepare for trial. And it's listeners across the country who have supported this with small and sometimes large donations that have kept us going. We're tremendously grateful for that. And I also want to emphasize the importance of taking some time to take a look at Lynn's Radio for All Free Pacifica website. When I first got involved in this, I was trying to figure out what happened. And I went and I read the entire archives. And anybody who is interested, I really recommend it. That's how you can find out and understand better the history of what's going on. This is, the attacks on democracy now are just the crescendo of something that has been building up for 10 years. And we really are at the stage where the situation is desperate. We need your help.
That last voice you heard was Carol Spooner, a member of the Local Advisory Board on KPFA. My name is Jeffrey Blankford. I'm your host every other Wednesday on Takes in the World at 9 in the morning. I'm in the studio here with Mariah Gallardin of TUC Radio, who has a program here every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, which goes around the country. And also on telephone back in New York is Lynn Gary, former engineer, union steward at KPFK, and one of the early fighters to save Pacifica.
And why don't you join us? Call in and join this conversation. We can take one caller at a time.
895-2448 or 1-800-499-7117. If you have some question about Pacifica that you're wondering about, what the future is, what something about the pay, and there is a caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much. What an incredible bunch of people. Anyway, I don't think we should be shy of using the word COINTELPRO. I know it's hard to
no,
say
No, we shouldn't.
And having been a victim of COINTELPRO in the 60s and early 70s myself, I know the earmarks. I know them really well. It's not surprising, and it's not paranoid. I think it's being realistic, and I like what that other caller said. You know, it's a whole planetary phenomenon. And I think we shouldn't be so shy. Oh, COINTELPRO, oh dear, we can't mention that word. I mean, I've brought that up before on air, and people seem to be really freaked out by that word. Hey, folks, it's what's happening. It's not dead yet. I think we need to just be realistic and logical about this. This is what's happening with Amy, but it isn't just her, and it isn't just WBAI, all of Pacifica has been a target, I think, for many, many years. And
that's correct.
I don't have a question. I just want to really encourage people to realize how important this struggle is and how important Amy is, not just on a personal level, but for what she represents in terms of free speech. And so, you know, thank you so much, and thank you to all of you who are doing the show today. Really appreciate it a lot, and I know everybody else does too. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The caller is right. Pacifica is a target for a reason, and it's political. And the kinds of attacks that have been building up over the last 10 years at Pacifica do have all of the earmarks of government involvement.
We have another call here on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi there. I'm a big fan of Democracy Now! And of KZYX.
All right.
And I just want to say, for me, it's kind of like imagining this gigantic machine that's doing every possible torture imaginable and then some outside of that. And here people like Amy Goodman are standing in front of it trying to show the machine what it's doing. And we're all part of that machine living in this country. And we all have to listen to her voice and people like her, because that's all there is to stop us from just being fully integrated into that evil machine of torture, you know? That's how I see it. Thanks.
Thank you very much for calling. You can imagine the struggle against corporate globalization if we only had to rely on NPR or the networks. It is 10 minutes of 5. This is KZYX. If you had hoped to listen to Democracy Now!, it is not being broadcast today because Pacifica management and WBAN management refused to let Amy broadcast in a safe studio. There is another call. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for the program. My comment is a rather despairing one. I think even as the California Energy Commission was headed by a person who had about $800,000 invested in the energy thing and had stock options and all that kind of thing, and he was appointed by a former governor and sustained by the current one, and his daughter, I think, has some PBS position. And if we don't have responsible people, and I don't know what the solution is. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Well, in a way, you know, the pointer here points to our strengths as well. I've been doing work on globalization in the WTO for a long time, and I have never really, I was always afraid to look at this one sector of it, that the commons, our common social structure, our common air in terms of broadcasting, that would actually come under attack. And it does. And it's, you know, for us, it's a really good reminder how valuable that is and how we really have to defend it tree by tree and station by station.
And voice
and
by voice.
We have another caller.
Another caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for the program.
You're very welcome.
The other day I was listening to, I guess it was the tail end of the NPR news, and they were listing the sponsors, and one of the sponsors was the Council on Foreign Relations. Can you imagine?
Imagine that.
That is a fact. Now, so if the Council on Foreign Relations is sponsoring NPR, what kind of news and information do you think we're getting?
Garbage.
Well,
propaganda.
It is disinformation.
That's what P stands for.
to get us focused on matters to distract us from what's really going on. Now, the issue with the Pacifica Network and our access to media to inform one another and interested people in what's really going on has been under attack for a long time, and the consolidation by individuals and corporations of all the media. We know about that. We've heard a lot of reporting about that. We still have the ability to get valuable information that we can then use to devise our own individual and group strategies on how to deal with this war that is being perpetrated against us, the citizens of the United States and the world. I would like to point out one particular author. He has a website It's tetrahedron.org. Tetrahedron, T-E-T-R-A-H-E-D-R-O-N. His name is Dr. Leonard Horowitz. And Dr. Horowitz has published 14 books in all, but his books with documentation are, and his books have been banned.
We only have one line open. We have a few minutes left. So if people heard that, I'd like to go on to another
people
call.
People can
if we
check
get one.
The website now with the information.
Okay, well,
right, we have no other lines open, so that's why we're trying to limit. But thank you very much for calling.
That's my input. Thank you.
We do have a line free here. With 7 minutes to go.
Well, I think the caller did make an important point about strategizing and about the consolidation of the media. We've heard a lot about that in the corporate media. There hasn't been as much publicity about it going on in public media through NPR and through attacks on independent community radio stations. And I think that that's something important to bring up because it's clear that the political sites are on public radio and on community radio and on low-power FM as well. They're coming after every outlet for alternative information in this country. Pacifica's in their sites, of course, because it's the only national network, but all community radio stations have been under attack from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Exactly.
Which has changed their funding rules to require little community radio stations to achieve certain commercial Arbitron ratings. And first they got them hooked on federal funds, and then they changed the rules and attempt to change their programming that way.
And two of the people on the task force that did that were Pat Scott and Lynn Chadwick, who were executive directors of Pacifica, one after the other.
That's right.
We have another call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Jeff Morag. Good shows, Karen.
Thank you.
Hey, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
I think we need to keep the pressure up. I mean, everybody who's been watching this issue is not surprised that they've done this to Amy, but it is appalling. And I guess what I want to ask Carol is, what can we do as affiliates? $6,000, KZYXNZ, gives Pacifica or pays Pacifica $6,000 a year for our affiliation, and right now all we're getting is Democracy Now because we, you know, eliminated PNN a while ago. So what do we need to do as a station? Get the board, get the manager. Who do we need to write? What can we do as an affiliate? And that's what I want
to
get out.
You
keep the pressure up.
You need to send a letter that they will ignore, saying that you will cancel your affiliation if Democracy Now is not broadcast. And that will actually, if you copy me, that will help us in court as well. We're trying to show the irreparable harm they're doing to the financial health of the foundation by harassing the flagship program that raises the most money. So send a letter to Bessie Walsh with a copy to me.
Address?
1136 Wild Rose Drive, Santa Rosa, California is me.
And that's Carol Spooner.
Send me a copy. And get all of the other affiliates that you're in connection with to send the same letter. If you can't all agree on the same letter, send separate letters, but do it.
Do we have an address for
Bessie Walsh? I don't have it handy, but it's at the National Office in Washington, D.C.
It's on the website if you have internet on pacifica.org.
Yeah. www.pacifica.org.
Lynn can probably locate it.
And Lynn, with the Pacifica campaign, we're coming down to the close of a very interesting hour. Unfortunately, it wasn't Democracy Now! As usual, and I don't know when we'll have Democracy Now! Again, frankly. This is a moment, a crisis that we anticipated down the line, and it has arrived. We need to do everything we can to keep that program on the air and save Pacifica. Lynn, do you have any last comments before we close?
Yes, the most important thing, whether we're talking about keeping our media or keeping our world, as that caller said, is to let them know they are on notice, they're not going to have it, and we're going to fight them to the death. And that is the attitude that will save Pacifica and save everything else. Right now, though, they are still in that meeting. Why are they in that meeting so long? I think that people need to give Steve Yasko, who is directing this torture of Amy Goodman, a telephone call and tell him what you think of his conduct, since he's out there on the internet trying to make nice to affiliate stations and lying and lying and lying. So I'm going to give you his phone number. I hope you can write this down if you have a pen.
Do it quick.
It's area code 202-841-1578. 202-841-1578.
Steve Yasko is the Pacifica National Program Director.
Who, there is a certain rumor afoot in Washington that he was hired to fire Amy Goodman. I suppose you've heard that, Lynn.
I've heard it.
Yes, I've
and
heard
Carol
that.
And Carol, too, yes. So we know whether it's true or not, we see this seem to be the playing out that way. And Carol, a quick last word from you?
We need your help helping to fund all of this. Please go to www.savepacifica.net. At the top of the page, it says how to contribute to the struggle. Go there and find out where to send your money. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Lynn. You've really helped inform the listeners of what's going on.
And thank you personally for all the work both of you have done.
Likewise.
On Pacifica and into the future.
And now this is Jeff Blankfort with Mariah Gallardon. We have been bringing you an hour of programming explaining what has been happening with Democracy Now! In Pacifica.